booster for your morning. All the news you need to know. It's the WABC Early News on 77 WABC. Now, here's Juliet Huddy and Frank Morano.
Well, good morning. This is the WABC Early News. I'm Frank Morano.
Hi, Frank. How are you?
I'm well.
Wonderful.
How are you doing?
I'm great. We have a lot to get to today, so let's get right to it. These are the big stories making news at this hour.
This is the Top 5 at 5.
A really disturbing story out in Long Island. A group of former students are accusing teachers and coaches of sexual abuse at a local high school. The details were revealed during a charged school board meeting this week. One Babylon High School grad says she was sexually and emotionally abused by a teacher who stayed on staff for years. 28-year-old Brittany Roll, who graduated Babylon Junior Senior High School in 2011, said in an open letter addressed to the Babylon Board of Education, between 2010 and 2013, a teacher groomed and sexually abused her until her second year of college. Other alleged victims say the abuse was an open secret at the school.
He's already been run out of office. Now, ex-Governor Andrew Cuomo might lose his $5.1 million book deal, too. New York State's ethics watchdog voted yesterday to revoke their approval of Cuomo's pandemic book deal because state government staffers and resources were improperly used in preparing it. The Joint Commission on Public Ethics approved a resolution 12-1 to rescind its decision allowing Cuomo to write American Crisis Leadership Lessons from the COVID pandemic while he was governor and while New York was still battling the pandemic.
A Westchester man who viciously attacked a 17-year-old black girl back in March of 2020 was sentenced Tuesday to 15 years in prison. Robert McCallion pleaded guilty in September to 14 felony charges, including second-degree attempted murder as a hate crime. Authorities say the 36-year-old used racist slurs as he stabbed the teen in her face, hand, and back at an Ossining apartment complex. He actually lived at the complex. Police say the victim was just visiting family, and she did not know her attacker.
A sixth tornado is confirmed to have touched down on Long Island over the weekend. The National Weather Service said on Tuesday one of nine to hit Long Island and Connecticut during the weekend storms. The EFO tornado touched down in the Hampton Bays area of Suffolk County on Saturday. The National Weather Service also confirmed another such tornado on Tuesday that struck North Bellport over the weekend.
And we may get that LaGuardia connection anyway. Port Authority officials announcing Tuesday that they're actually going to circle back on ways to connect LGA to the rest of the city. One possibility is extending the subway line to the airport. The news comes a month after Governor Kathy Hochul nixed a plan by her predecessor, of course, Andrew Cuomo, to build an air train to LaGuardia from Willets Point, Queens. That was a route that was roundly criticized for being inefficient and costly. And those are your top five at five.
All right. Coming up, we're going to have traffic on the sevens with Joe Nolan. We're going to bring you the sports with Matt Sapienza. We've got weather and a whole bunch of other news that you're going to be hearing about all morning long. But first, here's what's trending.
What's trending?
We're hearing more about that meeting between President Joe Biden and Chinese President Xi Jinping. The two met virtually Monday for 3.5 hours. Insiders say the president was a little miffed when China's leader referred to him as an old friend. Biden reportedly claiming his relationship with Jinping is pure business, quote unquote, and they are not what he would call friends. And one more revelation coming from that meeting, despite the pandemic originating under, I guess you could say, curious circumstances in China, the topic reportedly was not discussed.
And a veteran NYPD cop who was nearly stabbed to death by a man in 2008, only to watch the ex-con go free after allegedly attacking another officer on Sunday, says he's outraged by the revolving door of justice. The 42-year-old police officer said, "I could have died that night," referring to the night when he was brutally attacked by accused repeat cop assaulter Isis Thompson more than a decade ago. Raptus, the police officer, had caught Thompson smoking marijuana on a playground on Austin Street and was escorting him out when Thompson pulled a knife and jumped the officer, repeatedly stabbing in the stomach. The cop said he still has a scar as a reminder of the assault.
And despite the Biden administration vowing an investigation, the Department of Homeland Security's Office of Inspector General decided not to look into allegations of border agents whipping those Haitian migrants. If you recall, those images really infuriated people. Instead, the agency passed the case on to Customs and Border Patrol, didn't explain why, and we don't know exactly when that happened, but that investigation is ongoing.
The Department of Homeland Security's Office of Inspector General declined to investigate allegations that border agents, were using whips against Haitian migrants. We're going to get into that a little bit later on, along with a host of other stories that you're going to be hearing about, including some stories that are occurring right in our backyard, including a new entrant in the race for governor of New York. Meantime, Russia is dismissing U.S. claims that a recent missile strike is threatening the crew of the International Space Station. U.S. officials have confirmed that Russia conducted an anti-satellite test on Monday and created thousands of pieces of space debris when it destroyed a Russian satellite with a missile. Secretary of State Anthony Blinken called the test dangerous and irresponsible. Russia's Roscosmos space agency released a statement claiming their main priority is the unconditional safety of the ISS crew. It said their automated warning system was monitoring the situation in order to prevent and counter all possible threats to the space station.
Lots more coming up, including New York is basically winning the lottery thanks to that $1.2 trillion bipartisan infrastructure legislation. We're going to talk about some of the details and break it down for you. But in the meantime, let's head over to traffic on the 7th and Joe Nolan. Hi, Joe.
ABC.
Thank you very much, sir. We do have a frost advisory in our area until 8 a.m. in certain parts of the area, New Jersey, Hudson County, the city, Bronx, and southern Nassau counties. Again, that's until 8 this morning. In the meantime, let's check out the weather from the Ramsey Mazda Weather Center. We're looking at some sun this morning. Although we will start to see the clouds roll in this afternoon, we'll get to a high of about 56 degrees. Clouds this evening, and they'll start to break up a little bit. Once we hit the overnight hours, it'll be a nice clear sky, and that will bring us a middling day, I would say, tomorrow. We're going to have a mix of sun and clouds on Thursday. 67 degrees, though, so we will be pretty warm, and that's not going to last. By Friday, we'll get to 47 degrees, but we'll have lots of sun. We might see some rain tomorrow night. Looking at about a chance of 90%. So that looks like we're going to get it. Again, that's coming in Thursday night. Again, Friday sunny. Saturday's looking kind of cloudy. And Sunday's looking cloudy as well. Temperatures in the mid-40s and 50s those days. Currently, the temperature in New York City is a very chilly 41 degrees. Yesterday was the day that I felt like, okay, we've now surpassed fall and winter is coming.
Absolutely. And in other news, New York City is set to score billions in funding for badly needed transit, road, and airport improvements from the $1.2 trillion bipartisan infrastructure legislation signed by President Biden on Monday. The package includes as much as $10.7 billion for the MTA's subways, buses, and commuter rails, $2 billion for bridge and tunnel work, $685 million for the region's airports, $100 million to further expand broadband access, $175 million to install new charging stations for electric vehicles, and $50 million for Vision Zero street safety efforts like improving bike lanes. The tally provided by Mayor Bill de Blasio during his daily briefing yesterday didn't include the $30 billion also set aside in legislation for improvements to the Northeast Corridor Rail Service, which finally includes funding for desperately needed new rail tunnels between the Hudson River.
Now, the question
beneath the Hudson River.
The question is, how long will all of these improvements take?
Well, so far, that's a good question. But on the plus side, we know we'll have at least a year without MTA fare increases.
That's good. Moving on now, Texas Senator Ted Cruz confronted Homeland Security Secretary Alejandro Mayorkas yesterday over the nation's border crisis, including the detention of migrant children in what he described as Biden cages.
I will verify the accuracy of the data after my testimony today and report back to you.
Because so if your testimony that the great majority show up for hearing is wrong and false testimony, you will correct it in writing. Let me ask you subsequently.
Let me.
You won't correct it in writing?
No, I most certainly will.
It was extremely testy. Cruz pointed out that Biden and the administration blocked the media from seeing the enclosures firsthand at the time. The exchange was part of an onslaught of questions by Cruz and other Republican senators amid historically high flows of migrants across the U.S. border. Mayorkas estimating that more than 2 million illegal aliens will cross the border this year. It's not counting an unknown number who evaded detection by Border Patrol officers, and that's a whole other story. About 125,000 unaccompanied children are reported to have crossed the border in the first 10 months of this year, with minors flooding in after the White House pledged not to expel them.
And Long Island has a new railroad station, and it's really good news if you're an Islander hockey fan. The LIRR station in Elmont opens for service Saturday, November 20th, coinciding with the Islanders' first home game at their new arena. The Elmont station will at first offer eastbound service to the UBS Arena on event days, as well as nearby Belmont Park, which has its own station. Westbound service will begin next year. The Elmont station is the Long Island Railroad's first new station in nearly 50 years.
50 years?
Amazing.
That's crazy.
Absolutely amazing.
That's absolutely crazy. All right, well, speaking of transportation, as the holiday travel season looms very close, Americans say they plan on making up for having to lock down for so many months. And that news prompted New York Governor Kathy Hochul to essentially issue a warning on Tuesday to folks who continue to resist getting that vaccine.
We had no hope. We had no weapons in our arsenal to fight back against this deadly pandemic.
She was talking about what was the case a year ago, and she says now we do have hope. We do have this vaccine. She was in Western New York, where the vaccination rates are very low and the transmission rate is very high. And so she is encouraging people once again to get vaccinated, and she's encouraging adults who did get vaccinated to get those boosters. She blames the rising number of infections and hospitalizations and even deaths on COVID on those who are unvaccinated. She calls them holdouts who are keeping the pandemic alive.
Speaking of COVID, Mayor Muriel Bowser of Washington, D.C. said yesterday that an indoor mask mandate in the nation's capital would be eased on November 22nd. About 88% of the District of Columbia's adult residents have received at least one vaccine dose. That's according to city health officials. Masks will still be required in certain circumstances, including on mass transit, inside school buildings, and in congregate living facilities like nursing homes, college dorms, and jails. Ms. Bowser said the easing of the mandate doesn't mean that people should stop wearing masks entirely. During a news conference, she said it does mean that we're shifting the government's response to providing you this risk-based information and recommending layering strategies as the best way to protect yourself and the community.
Well, with this whole supply chain drama continuing on, good luck getting your turkey, but if you do get your turkey, you're going to be forking over a lot of dough for that bird. With Thanksgiving around the corner, the biggest meat company by sales in the U.S. has announced really significant price increases for the fourth quarter as the impact of the highest inflation for 30 years is continuing to be felt. Tyson Foods out of Arkansas announced on Monday that chicken prices rose 19% during the fourth quarter, beef and pork prices 33% and 38% respectively. Increased costs for labor, transportation, and items like feed, grain, and packaging have also created a lot of trouble for everybody involved. The chief financial officer of Tyson Foods said they've been slow to increase their prices in line with inflation, but they are going to be making up for the delay now, just in time for the holidays.
5:15, let's get a look at sports with Matt Sapienza. Good morning, Matt.
Morning, Frank. Good morning, Juliet. And good morning, everybody. Here's what's going on in the wide world of sports. Stephen Curry had 37 points, easily winning the matchup of the NBA's top two scorers when Kevin Durant had his worst night of the season. And the Golden State Warriors beat the Brooklyn Nets 117-99 last night. Durant came in leading in the league with 29.6 points per game, but he only managed 19, the first time all season that he didn't hit 20. He shot 0 for 8 in the decisive third quarter and finished 6 for 19 after sitting the fourth. Curry almost caught his former teammate for the NBA scoring lead, making 9 three-pointers and raising his average to 28.7 per game. Durant dropped to 28.9. Curry was 12 for 19 overall, with fans loudly cheering his long shots and giving him MVP chants, and while Durant and the home team misfired. To the ice now. Chris Kreider had another goal. Kaapo Kakko scored for the second straight game, and the New York Rangers beat the Montreal Canadiens 3-2 Tuesday night with their fourth straight win. Julien Gauthier also scored, and Igor Shesterkin made 31 saves to help the Rangers beat the Canadiens for the fourth time in five meetings. New York also won at Montreal October 16th, spoiling the Canadiens' home opener. And Sergei Bobrovsky stopped 27 shots, and the Florida Panthers overcame the loss of center Alexander Barkov to remain unbeaten at home with a 6-1 rout of the New York Islanders on Tuesday night. Ryan Lomberg recorded his first goal of the season, and Patrick Hornquist had a goal and an assist. Aaron Ekblad and Frank Vetrano scored goals for the Panthers as well. That's your sports at 15 and 45. I'm Matt Tapianza, and that is WABC Sports.
Thank you very much, Matt. And one more quick COVID story for you. I mean, we'll continue to get to COVID stories today, but just right now, an alert to parents. COVID cases among kids are not going down. In fact, since last week, infections increased generally here in the United States by 13%. In the Northeast, they jumped up into the 20% range. It's the second straight week cases among America's kids and teens have ticked up. The good news is deaths and hospitalizations among children are relatively low, with less than 0.1% experiencing either. But still, that is slightly alarming news.
Well, let me tell you what's happening on Wall Street. An interesting day on the street yesterday, and it looks like we're in store for an interesting day as well today. Yesterday, stocks closed mixed. The S&P 500 added 18 points. The NASDAQ rose 120, and the Dow gained 55 points. Wall Street posting gains after a strong October retail sales report. Stocks gained ground yesterday as Home Depot and Walmart post better than expected third quarter results, in yet another sign that consumers are spending despite inflation fears. Speaking of those inflation fears, Treasury Secretary Janet Yellen is calling on Congress to raise or suspend the debt limit as soon as possible. In a letter to House Speaker Nancy Pelosi, Yellen explained the federal government could default on its debt obligations shortly after December 15th. She noted she has a high degree of confidence the department can finance the government through that date. That's about 2 weeks longer than the original projection of December 3rd. Yellen's update comes after President Biden signed the bipartisan infrastructure bill into law. Juliet?
Thank you very much. Speaking of bills and laws, House Democratic leaders are going to be busy bees this week. They have a packed schedule thanks to President Biden's $1.75 trillion social spending bill. Speaker Nancy Pelosi has basically said, we're going to pass this if you want to go home for Thanksgiving. The current plan is for debate to start today. A vote on passage expected sometime between Thursday and Saturday. One source inside the House Democratic Caucus's Tuesday meeting telling the Post that Pelosi had vowed that members would not leave Washington until this Build Back Better bill is passed. I mean, they've got families to go home to. She says, no way. So moderate Democrats, as you know, have said that they're not going to support this measure without more information from the CBO, the budget office, on how the bill provisions are going to be paid for, and projections on the impact of spending on inflation. Leaders are already hoping already released scoring from the agency would be enough to rally centrists around the measure, but that's to remain to be seen. A report on the full bill isn't expected until Friday, so a couple days.
An alert to parents: COVID cases among children are not going down. More on that a little bit later. We'll give you all the latest news with respect to COVID. And we'll also tell you about the American journalist who is now back home in the United States.
This is a really great move for Bill Richardson, who has been in the news lately. Well, not lately, but I mean, he's been talked about over the last year for some not so great things.
That's right.
Regarding the Jeffrey Epstein.
More on that in just a minute. Manhattan District Attorney Cy Vance, though, has spent nearly $715 million in money reaped from big bucks case settlements on criminal justice programs. Records show that his predecessor, Alvin Bragg, will be left with just a small fraction of that kitty. The asset forfeiture funds, largely gained from banks doing business in a world financial capital, Capital has paid for everything from the $38 million review of thousands of old rape kits throughout the country to smartphones and tablets for NYPD cops to NYCHA infrastructure safety upgrades. Vance has also come under fire for tapping these same dollars to travel across the globe for law enforcement conferences, spending nearly $250,000 on meals and work trips to everywhere from L.A. to Paris. He continued the spending even after public exposure of his high-flying trips, expensing $20,000 for travel to Miami and Singapore, as well as various meals and cab rides in the year that began on June of 2019.
All right. Well, this is a great story. American journalist Danny Fenster was freed after nearly 6 months in jail in military-ruled Myanmar. He came back Tuesday here to the U.S. for a very emotional reunion with his family. Fenster was sentenced last week to 11 years of hard labor. And then within just a day or so, he was handed over to former U.S. diplomat Bill Richardson, actually 2 days, because he was sentenced on Friday and he was handed over on Monday. So a couple days it took for Bill Richardson to negotiate that release. Here's Fenster.
I mean, it's over, you know? There's nothing to be anxious about anymore. It's over. Any bitter, ill will, regret, anger kind of spilled out onto the tarmac when I got on that plane in Naypyidaw and just stayed there. I'm just incredibly grateful now.
The question is, will he ever go back?
I wouldn't.
Yeah, I mean, he is in charge of a paper that covers Myanmar, so I wonder if he's going to be looking for a new job. But anyway, he's one of more than 100 journalists, media officials, or publishers who have been detained since the military took over the government there in Myanmar. His family were waiting his arrival in the lobby of the airport hotel. They rushed out to greet him as his SUV approached. His mom, Rose, embraced him, and it was just a wonderful family scene.
Jurors deciding the fate of Kyle Rittenhouse called time on their deliberations shortly before 6 p.m. last night and will resume this morning. The foreman of the jury informed Judge Bruce Schroeder at 5:50 p.m. local time that they were done for the day. They had arrived at the courthouse at 9 a.m. Tuesday, and Rittenhouse then drew slips of paper out of a raffle drum to determine the six alternates. The 12 remaining jurors, 7 women and 5 men, deliberated all day except for a lunch break around noon. They requested copies of pages 1 to 6 of the jury instruction in the morning and then requested copies of the rest of the 36 pages in the afternoon. With the jury quietly tucked away deliberating Rittenhouse's fate, decorum outside the Wisconsin courthouse dissolved into angry protests with the arrival of Black Lives Matter activists and Second Amendment enthusiasts.
There's a lot of concern by locals there about what's going to happen once that verdict is delivered. And closer to home, Representative Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez's district offices here in New York City are only open for you to walk in and chat on Mondays and Wednesdays. As you know, municipal workers, school kids, everybody's been back at their desks full time for months. The other 3 days, the weekdays, AOC's district office appointments are virtual. So this is a sharp contrast to the 14 New York congressional members out of 29 whose offices are open Monday through Friday. And she says, look, we're just waiting for this pandemic to officially pass before we bring everybody back into the office.
House Republican leader Kevin McCarthy slammed Joe Biden's Department of Justice for an egregious abuse of power yesterday and demanded Attorney General Merrick Garland testify before Congress about the counterterrorism tactics the FBI is using to investigate parents. McCarthy said in a statement, in an egregious abuse of power with the potential to unfairly track Americans' activities, President Biden's Department of Justice is using FBI criminal and counterterrorism resources to target parents. Garland had testified on October 21st that the Justice Department and its components were not using counterterrorism tactics to target concerned parents, but Republicans say they have documentation that shows differently. Kevin McCarthy also blasted Biden for going after parents instead of actual threats.
Thank you very much, sir. Frost advisory until 8 a.m. for parts of our area. Today, we're looking at sun in the morning, with increasing clouds this afternoon and a high of 56. We'll have a clear sky overnight. And tomorrow we will see kind of a mix of clouds and sunshine, but we will get up to about 67 degrees. maybe even 70 in some areas. But by Thursday night, we're going to see that rain come back in. We're definitely going to see rain because it says chance of rain 90%, rainfall near a quarter of an inch. So prepare for that. But it's not going to last too long. Friday, we're going to be having some sun rolling in there. It looks like mostly sunny skies and high of 47. Clear skies Friday night, leading into mostly, well, a mix of clouds and sun on Saturday. Mid-range, 46 degrees or thereabouts, and Sunday, 55 degrees and cloudy. Currently, the temperature in Manhattan is 41 degrees, Frank.
Coming up, I'll tell you what's happening in the world of business. We'll also give you the latest on the newest entrant in the race for governor, and not entirely a surprise there, but first...
Entertaining and informative. It's the WABC Early News on 77 WABC. Now, here's Juliet Huddy and Frank Morano.
Thank you very much. I'm Juliet. Frank is in a moment. And here are the top stories making headlines this morning.
It's the top five at 5:30.
Really disturbing story out on Long Island. A group of former students are accusing some teachers and coaches of sexual abuse and grooming at a local high school. The details came out during a school board meeting this week. One Babylon High School grad says that she was sexually and emotionally abused by a teacher who stayed on staff for years. 28-year-old Brittany Roll graduated Babylon Junior Senior High in 2011. She said in an open letter addressed to the Babylon Board of Education that between 2010 and 2013, a teacher there at the high school groomed and sexually abused her until her second year of college. Other alleged victims say the abuse was an open secret.
He's already been run out of office. Now, ex-governor Andrew Cuomo could lose his $5.1 million book deal as well. New York State's ethics watchdog, J-COPE, voted yesterday to revoke their approval for Cuomo's pandemic book deal because state government staffers and resources were improperly used in preparing it. The Joint Commission on Public Ethics approved a resolution 12-1 to rescind their decision, allowing Cuomo to write American Crisis Leadership Lessons from the COVID pandemic while he was governor and while New York was still battling the pandemic.
A Westchester man who viciously attacked a 17-year-old black girl in March of 2020 was sentenced Tuesday to 15 years in prison. Robert McCallion pleaded guilty in September to 14 felony charges, including second-degree attempted murder as a hate crime. Authorities say the 36-year-old used racist slurs as he stabbed the teen in her face, hand, and back at his Austining apartment complex. It turns out police say the victim was visiting family and she didn't even know her attacker.
A sixth tornado is confirmed to have touched down on Long Island over the weekend. The National Weather Service saying that one of nine to hit Long Island and Connecticut during the weekend storms. The EFO tornado touched down in the Hampton Bays area of Suffolk County. A big hello to everyone listening to us on 107.1 FM out there. The National Weather Service also confirmed another EFO tornado on Tuesday that struck North Bellport over the weekend.
And we finally may actually get that LaGuardia Airport connection. Port Authority officials announcing Tuesday that they're actually going to circle back on ways to connect LGA to the rest of the city. One possibility is extending the subway line to the airport. That seems reasonable. Maybe. The news comes a month after Governor Kathy Hochul nixed a plan by her predecessor to build an air train to LaGuardia from Willets Point, Queens. That was a route that was roundly criticized for being inefficient and costly.
And that is your top five at 5:30.
Thank you. I was testing you.
Yes. Well, and in other news, the City Planning Commission voted on Monday to make Mayor Bill de Blasio's pandemic-era outdoor dining permanent. The commission's unanimous vote to remove zoning prohibitions against sidewalk cafes sends the question of the program's permanence for final approval from the City Council, which itself initiated the process of codifying post-COVID rules for so-called open restaurants. The City Council Speaker Corey Johnson did not immediately comment on when council members plan to vote on the matter. The alfresco setups on sidewalks and curbs have so far gobbled up 8,550 parking spots. The New York Post reported earlier this year that in exchange, the city claims to have saved some 100,000 restaurant jobs that would have otherwise not survived the pandemic.
So you can nibble your filet in perpetuity. This would just be forever.
Outside, but you can't park.
Right. Well, I guess take your scooter. Britney Spears is refusing to see her mother, Lynn Spears, after mom flew from Louisiana to Los Angeles to try to make amends with her daughter. Britney Spears is absolutely furious at her parents. The 39-year-old singer is said to have denied Lynn, 66, to enter her home recently, weeks before her conservatorship had been terminated by a judge. That actually happened. She's officially free. Britney has been freed. This comes a month after Britney accused Lynn of being the orchestrator. She was the one who Britney said basically told the father that they should have a conservatorship over Britney. And Britney said that or made those claims in an Instagram post earlier this month. But that situation seems to be getting more tenuous as the day goes on. Britney posting multiple Instagram posts in the last few days attacking her family.
Mayor Bill de Blasio, along with the Times Square Alliance, announced new details about this year's New Year's Eve celebration and ball drop. New Yorkers will get to party like it's 2019 this New Year's Eve, as revelers can once again pour into Times Square to ring in 2022. Public gatherings are allowed once again at the crossroads of the world, but attendees will need to follow a few precautions to celebrate. Revelers age 5 years old and up must be fully vaccinated. Revelers must also bring proof of vaccination and valid ID cards. Hundreds of thousands of people are expected to attend this year's ball drop. Mayor de Blasio called it further evidence to the world that we are 100% back.
We want to have a great New Year's Eve celebration in this city. This city's been through so much, but this has been a heroic city fighting through COVID. We're turning the corner. We got a lot to celebrate, so it's going to be a big moment in Times Square on New Year's Eve. How it's going to work, we're going to announce the details tomorrow. Go ahead, Juliet.
Not Juliet Huddy. Another Juliet. All right. We are going to get to lots more stories, including some stories about former Governor Chris Christie of New Jersey. He has a theory about independent voters who backed President Biden. We'll talk about that coming up. But let's head over to Traffic on the Sevens with Joe Nolan. Hi, Joe.
With Traffic on the Sevens, I'm Joe Nolan, Talk Radio 77, WABC.
Thank you, Joseph. Mm-hmm. Going to be a mild day today if you are somebody who likes 30-degree weather. We're going to be up to 56 degrees today. We'll have some sun in the morning hours, but the clouds will roll in by this afternoon. We'll also have some clouds this evening, but once we head into the overnight hours, skies will clear. Tomorrow, we're looking at a fairly warm day, 67 degrees with clouds and sun. On Friday, we'll have mostly sunny skies with a high of 47 degrees. Friday night is clear. Saturday's looking cloudy, 46 degrees. Sunday, 55 degrees and cloudy. So it looks like we're just going to have lots of clouds. The only sun I see really is on Friday. Hopefully that'll change. We may get some rain, it looks like, on Thursday night. So tomorrow night, prepare for some rain, but it's only going to last throughout the night and it'll be gone by the morning. Currently, the temperature in Manhattan is, let's see, it's 41 degrees right now.
Let me tell you what's happening in the world of business. Obviously, the big story continues to be inflation. But in spite of the inflation numbers, consumers are still spending. At the closing bell, the Dow Jones Industrial gained 55, the S&P 500 gained 18, and the NASDAQ rose 120 points, driven largely by earnings from Home Depot and Walmart, both of which posted better-than-expected third-quarter results. House Democratic leaders expect to vote on President Biden's big social spending bill late this week. The nearly $2 trillion bill has been pared down from $3.5 trillion. It includes a large chunk of money to fight climate change. Lawmakers are waiting for the bill to be scored by the Congressional Budget Office, but that may not be unveiled until late Friday. And electric vehicle startup Lucid's market value shot past Ford yesterday after executives told investors reservations for its vehicles have jumped. Lucid's market value surged to $89.9 billion after a 24% run-up in the electric vehicles company stock. That's within striking distance of General Motors' market cap of just under $91 billion. Lucid's shares closed at $55.52 yesterday. Juliet?
Thank you. Former New Jersey Governor Chris Christie says he thinks independent voters who backed President Biden have, quote, buyer's remorse. The ex-governor claims that he has governed, he's referring to Biden, Biden has governed like he's left of FDR. Those are his quotes. And that, he says, is making a lot of folks in the middle unhappy. He points to election results down in Virginia and New Jersey earlier this month as proof of his theory. Christie is hitting the talk circuit to promote his new book, Republican Rescue, which hit bookshelves yesterday.
A new poll out, and it's once again not good news for President Biden. More than half of independent voters, to Chris Christie's point, want him to step aside come 2024. Just 24% say that he should run again. So we'll see what that portends for President Biden's political future.
And speaking of, we have some financial dealings when it comes to President Biden and his Delaware getaways. According to reports, those getaways have cost taxpayers $3 million in Secret Service fees. The president has made 25 trips to his beach home in 43 weeks in office. It's a fairly expensive figure, and it equates to 77 days away from the White House. The Department of Homeland Security revealed last month that it's spending nearly $500,000 to build a fence around Biden's home in Wilmington. Meantime, his expenses exceed the $2.4 million in Secret Service costs spent to protect Trump during the 99 days that he spent in Bedminster, New Jersey, during this period of his presidency. But that does not include Trump's trips to Mar-a-Lago during his presidency, where he was basically, it was a second White House for him. And we'll give you a little bit more on that coming up in a little bit. Meantime, a couple ex-Trump administration officials may have some explaining to do. Former Treasury Secretary Steve Mnuchin and former Secretary of State Mike Pompeo reportedly talked about invoking the 25th Amendment to remove then-President Trump from office after the Capitol riot. ABC News reporter Jonathan Carl reporting Mnuchin called Pompeo that night to discuss the possibility. Carl telling MSNBC that the plan fizzled after several big-name cabinet members resigned in the riot's aftermath.
Jacob Chansley, the self-described QAnon shaman, who infamously marched through the U.S. Capitol with a spear and horned helmet during the January 6th riot, will appear before a federal judge today, to be sentenced for his role in the attack. Prosecutors last week recommended that Chansley receive a sentence of 51 months, which would be the longest prison term among the hundreds of people who've been criminally charged in connection with the riot. Chansley pleaded guilty on September 3rd to one felony count of unlawfully obstructing an official proceeding. He'll be one of the first felony defendants from the January 6th insurrection to learn his fate, joining dozens of lower-level misdemeanor defendants who've been sentenced thus far.
And lawmakers are promising to continue fighting to get those 17 kidnapped missionaries home. That was like the hot story for a couple days there, and then it sort of went away.
That's right.
The group was working in Haiti, as you might recall, when they were taken last month by a dangerous local gang whose leader is threatening to kill the hostages if he doesn't receive $1 million per hostage. There's also, I believe, an eight-month-old baby. Ohio Representative Reggie Stolfus says that he is working hard to make sure that these people are not forgotten, and he filed a resolution this week to push American leaders to help secure their release.
And President Joe Biden is highlighting billions of dollars in his giant bipartisan infrastructure deal to pay for the installation of electric vehicle chargers across the country, an investment that he says will go a long way towards curbing planet-warming carbon emissions while creating good-paying jobs. Today, he'll visit a General Motors plant in Detroit that manufactures these electric vehicles. He'll use the occasion to make the case that the $7.5 billion in the new infrastructure law for electric vehicle chargers will help America get off the sidelines on green energy manufacturing. Currently, the U.S. market share of plug-in electric vehicles is one-third the size of Chinese electric vehicle market.
And let's, before we get to sports, let's talk about a happy story. The holiday season is officially underway here in New York City. This is the place to be for the holidays, I have to say. Holiday lights opened at the Bronx Zoo last night. The zoo's director was on hand with a representative from Con Ed to flip the switch and bring everything to life. I've actually never been to this before. Have you seen this?
Holiday lights
at the Bronx Zoo. I guess it's a big to-do.
I went last year, and I think this was – no, it wasn't the Bronx Zoo. It was the Bronx Botanical Garden that I saw the Christmas lights. So, no, I have never seen it.
Okay. Well, maybe you can bring your little bambino.
That'll be fun.
When they're hatched. The Holiday Lights this year is a fully outdoor experience. It's got more wildlife lanterns and light displays than ever before. Seasonal activities include professional ice carving demonstrations and competitions. They have wildlife stilt walkers, you know, those
people
that walk around. Theater performances, train rides, treats, crafts, all sorts of things. Also, the historic Astor Court will be filled with new displays and multiple lighted trees that will all be synced with holiday music. So you'll have an immersive light show. Very nice.
5:45, let's get a look at sports with Matt Sapienza.
Thanks, Frank, and thanks, Juliet. Good morning, everybody. Here's what's going on in the wide world of sports. Stephen Curry had 37 points, easily winning matchup of the NBA's top two scorers, while Kevin Durant had his worst night of the season, and the Golden State Warriors beat the Brooklyn Nets 117-99 last night. Durant came in the leading in the league with 29.6 points per game, but he only managed 19. The first time all season that he didn't hit 20. He shot 0-for-8 in the decisive third quarter and finished 6-for-19 after sitting the fourth. Curry almost caught his former teammate for the NBA scoring lead, making 9 3-pointers and raising his average to 28.7 points per game. Durant dropped to 28.9. Curry was 12-for-19 overall, with fans loudly cheering his long shots and giving him MVP chants, while Durant and the home team misfired. To the ice now. Chris Kreider had another goal. Kaapo Kakko scored for the second straight game, and the New York Rangers beat the Montreal Canadiens 3-2 last night for their fourth straight win. Julien Gauthier also scored, and Igor Shesterkin made his 31st save to helped the Rangers beat the Canadiens for the fourth time in 5 meetings. New York also won at Montreal October 16th, spoiling the Canadiens' home opener. And the Florida Panthers overcame the loss of center Alexander Barkov to remain unbeaten at home with a 6-1 rout of the New York Islanders last night as well. And that's sports at 15:45. I'm Matt Sapienza. You make it a great day. We'll see you soon, huh?
5:47. Let's get a look at traffic and transit on the 7s with Joe Nolan.
Celebrating 100 years.
77 WABC.
Real.
New York.
Entertaining and informative. It's the WABC Early News on 77 WABC. Now, here's Juliet Huddy and Frank Morano.
Thank you very much. We got some more news to get to. The House today is going to be voting on a resolution that both censures Republican Representative Paul Gosar and removes him from his committee assignments. This is according to sources. Gosar last week tweeted an edited Japanese anime cartoon. It showed him stabbing President Biden and essentially lopping off the head of AOC. He later deleted the tweet, but he did not apologize. So we are expecting to have a vote sometime today on this resolution that will censure him and remove him from his committee assignments. We'll keep an eye on that for you.
Parents spoke out at a school board meeting that was held in New Jersey yesterday to discuss disturbing allegations of hazing and sex abuse involving a local high school football team. Authorities are investigating allegations that acts of hazing occurred within the Wall Township High School football program, and some parents are now calling on the school board to resign. The Monmouth County Prosecutor's Office said there are also unrelated allegations that one or more sexual assaults involving minors took place off campus. This is not the first serious football-related hazing allegation that's taken place in the state of New Jersey recently.
Speaking of meetings, we're hearing more about that meeting between President Joe Biden and Chinese President Xi Jinping. The two, as you know, met virtually on Monday for like 3.5 hours. Insiders say the American president was a bit miffed when China's leader referred to him as an old friend, quote unquote. Biden reportedly claimed his relationship with Jinping is pure business and they are not what he would call friends. And one more revelation coming out of that, despite the pandemic originating under, shall we say, curious circumstances in China, the topic reportedly wasn't even discussed.
Miramax filed a lawsuit Tuesday against director Quentin Tarantino over the director's plans to create and auction off a series of NFTs based on his film, Pulp Fiction. The entertainment company alleges that Tarantino's planned offerings violate the copyrights that it holds to the director's 1994 film, according to the lawsuit filed in federal court in L.A. Tarantino recently announced plans to sell 7 NFTs, or non-fungible tokens, which are digital works rendered unique and attached to a specific owner through cryptocurrency technology. The NFTs to go on sale next month include scanned digital copies of handwritten script pages for uncut versions of scenes from the film with audio commentary and other elements. Each will also include secret aspects accessible only to the owner.
Coming back to some of the big headlines today, wow, this sounds like something out of a Quentin Tarantino movie, a horror movie, but it is actually reality. A veteran New York City police officer who was nearly stabbed to death back in 2008 had to see the guy that attacked him go free after allegedly attacking another officer on Sunday. And he says he is outraged by the revolving door of justice, as they say. This 42-year-old cop, Raptus is his name, he says he could have died that night that he was brutally attacked by Isis Thompson more than a decade ago. He caught Thompson smoking pot at a playground on Austin Street, and he was taking him out when Thompson pulled a knife and jumped the officer, stabbing him in the stomach repeatedly. Raptus says he still has a scar as a reminder of the assault and is questioning what is going on with the city when we release these types of people right onto the street.
Republican Senator Marco Rubio is promising to stall President Biden's nominee for ambassador to China. Nominee Nicholas Burns is a career diplomat who worked in the State Department for both the Clinton and George W. Bush administrations. In a statement, Senator Rubio claims that during his Senate confirmation hearing last month, Burns displayed no concern about his current business relationships with nationless corporations operating in China. Burns has recently done work for the global business consulting firm, the Cohen Group.
Well, we've heard about all of these lawsuits against Astroworld and those involved. Now we're hearing about more than 125 fans filing $750 million lawsuit against Travis Scott. Just Travis Scott himself over this Astroworld tragedy. This is an attorney out of Houston. His name's Tony Busby. He's accusing the rapper of gross negligence because the concert failed to have adequate safety measures in place to protect attendees. And Travis Scott not only performed there, but he was the one who was behind the concert. One of the victims was allegedly suffocated by the crowd and trampled to death, all while Scott kept performing on stage. I mean, others were trampled. Others had heart attacks. It was a horrible situation. This comes as W Magazine is just frantic, desperate to try to remove its outgoing magazines from circulation because guess who's on the cover? Travis Scott.
And without further ado, let's check in with Sid Rosenberg, find out what's coming up on the Bernie and Sid
Good
show
morning,
at 6 a.m. Hey, Sid.
Good morning, guys. Travis Scott is not on our show today, despite reports yesterday that that's not happening. We're going to start with...
Reports yesterday that he was going to be on your show?
That's
really?
Right. No, I'm just kidding. We had a legend retire in the world of New York radio last week after 34 years of manning the airwaves. And for a short time, maybe the greatest overnight host next to you ever. Steve Summers, WFAN, actually called it quits last week. Mm. Although something they called it quits for him. Either way, he'll join me and Bernie this morning coming up at 7:40. He's been everywhere. New York One, every network channel, all the newspapers. A good friend of me and Bernie now for 20-plus years.
What a legend. I mean, you talk about a five-tool radio talent. He is a master.
I couldn't agree more. So we'll talk to Steve Summers coming up at 7:40. Peter King is usually on at 7:40 on Wednesdays. He's kind enough to push it back to 7:25. Coming up at 8:40, Nick DeGregorio. You know who this guy is?
Well, I know he's running for Congress in New Jersey, right?
That's him. That's exactly right. Mm-hmm. He'll join us at 8:40, and then Father Francis coming up at 9:05, talking about the turkey distribution today. The second straight year we'll be doing that outside of St. John Church by Madison Square Garden. Did it last year. Star-studded cast that Todd Shapiro puts together. Same thing today, but it's more about the homeless and the turkeys, and that's coming up later on this morning at 10:30. So Father Francis coming up at 9:05.
That sounds like a great show.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
So you're going to be out there giving out turkeys.
I do it every year.
All right.
I'm also handing out knapsacks to the homeless on December the 7th.
Oh, that's nice.
Yeah.
Very nice.
Yeah.
I do all that stuff. What's that all about?
To be honest, when I was friends with Dolores last year, she actually told me to do it, and I did it. So this year, the guy called me. He said, listen, will you do it again for us?
That's wonderful. Good.
And I said, yes, I will. So
very nice. So you have pay it forward, baby.
Sid, before we get to Joe Nolan, we're talking about this New Jersey hazing incident. You played football at Poly Prep. What do you think of this sort of situation involving hazing in high school and collegiate athletics?
I also was in ZBT at University of Miami, a very popular fraternity, and there was also hazing there. Mm-hmm. I went through it. being woken up at 3 o'clock in the morning in the strangest of fashions. I'm not going to tell you how. But, I mean, hazing is stupid. It just doesn't make any sense. And I thought we were past all that.
I thought we were, too.
Right?
Yeah.
I thought they stopped all that stuff years ago. I mean, kids actually die during the – forget about the humiliation and all that stuff. Kids actually die. So if you're still doing that, it's embarrassing. And if you're a parent, you should make sure your kid does not do that. I'm totally against hazing.
5:57.
Unless you're a rookie at this station.
Joe Nolan, traffic and transit on the 7th. How the roads looking for my commute home?
Well, for your commute, you shouldn't have too much of a problem. Nothing really out of the ordinary. However...
All right. Thank you very much, Joe. Have a great rest of your day. From the Ramsey Mazda Weather Center, we're looking at an okay day. We've got some sun this morning with increasing clouds this afternoon. High of 56 degrees. Tomorrow, we're looking at 67 degrees. That's warm for this time of year, but we'll have clouds and sunshine, a mix of that. And then by tomorrow night, we should have some rain. It's probably going to be about 90% chance. We should see maybe a quarter of an inch in some areas. But then it all goes away, and we have mostly sunny skies on Friday with a high of 47 degrees. Weekends looking mediocre. Good. Right. A fall weekend.
Okay.
Cold.
Good.
You know, maybe some sun popping
opportunity out to, you know, catch up at with the ping pong table.
Oh, yeah. Or sleep.
Yeah. All right. Before we get out of here, I do want to tell you about this story. A Utah man who became a billionaire after creating a software platform for advertising plans to give away nearly all his wealth to help others. Jeff T. Green is the CEO and chairman of the Trade Desk and is worth an estimated $6 billion, according to Forbes. Green announced he signed the Giving Pledge, and he's going to give away more than 90% of his wealth to help bring happiness to others. In a statement, Green says he hopes to make education more accessible.
Excellent. I hope you have a wonderful day, everybody. Enjoy the weather.